You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parsha begins, Elishmois b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael comes to Mitzrayim. As the family of the de facto king of Mitzrayim, although Pirai was the titular king, but Yosef was universally acknowledged as the savior of Mitzrayim by interpreting the dreams and managing the finances of Egypt, so that not only was the entire nation of Egypt saved, every single human being, but all of the money in the civilized world went to Mitzrayim, making it the world superpower. And Yosef's family and Yankif Avinu, which came as the family of this great person Yosef, the family was acknowledged as very privileged people. In a manner of speaking, they were the first family, and all the Mitzrayim loved them. So immediately, we are faced with an obvious question: how did the situation so drastically pivot that they became so enslaved and so despised? Pasuk Yud Beis and Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ve'yakutsu mitnei b'nei Yisrael, that they were disgusted from Klal Yisrael, Ve'yavidu b'nei Yisrael b'forach, and they enslaved the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, with the possible exception of Shevet Levi, which we won't talk about now. So how did Klal Yisrael so dramatically lose their exalted position? And not only did Mitzrayim's love turn to hate, but the enslavement became so severe that it took away the ability of Klal Yisrael to exist as a Jewish nation and brought them to the brink of disappearing altogether, like we see. Halolu oivdei avodah zarah. That was by Kriyas Yamsuf already, the Malachim were saying. Klal Yisrael were all, the majority of them, were still attached to avoid Azura even after the Makis, in the Yamsuf. And that's one quote, and another quote is that Klal Yisrael was in Memtes Shari Tuma, the lowest level of Shari Tuma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to redeem them very quickly, otherwise we would have indeed disappeared as a Jewish nation. So to answer this question, and to give us some very profound foundations in understanding the perils that Klal Yisrael faced in Mitzrayim, and what transpired to make this pivot from being beloved to being hated and afflicted and despised, there is an amazing approach that's put forward from the Rebbe's in Pshisra, that's the Chiddush Arim, the Sfas Emes, the Sefer Likutei Yehuda, and most likely a number of other of the great Rebbes of Pshisra as well, that the Medrash says an astounding thing, that after Yosef HaTzadik died, Geshemesh Yosef Heferu Bris Mila, they stopped observing the mitzvah Bris Mila. Why? Nehi Kimitzriyim. Klal Yisrael wanted to become friendly and to be more respected among the Mitzrayim. V'kivin she'osu kein hofach HaKadosh Baruch Hu o ha'hava she'hoyu ha'Mitzrayim oyevin oyson l'sina. They thought, the Jews then in Mitzrayim, that if they would abandon Mila, it would endear them to the Mitzrayim. Meanwhile, this was the reason why the ahava that the Mitzrayim had turned to sina. The love turned to hate. And the Medrash says that when this happened, that the abandonment of koyach of the mitzvah of Bris Mila, which contains the koyach of chiyus v'hischadshus, the Klal Yisrael, was taken away. And very interesting, they point out that this connects to the intriguing pasuk ches v'yokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim, that the new melech, the new paroi, under whose direction the nation turned against Klal Yisrael, is referred to Melech Chodosh. And this koyach that Klal Yisrael has, which was the personification of Yosef, which was tied to his special tzidkis, Yosef was unusual among all of the Shifteko, all of whom were tzaddikim beyond our comprehension. But he had this particular power, the power of existing among the Mitzrayim and maintaining his Yiddishkeit, even before Yankif and the Shvatim came to Mitzrayim. He was there all alone, and he had this tremendous nisoyan, this tremendous test, the test of promiscuity. And his tzidkis was so powerful that he enabled Klal Yisrael to live in Mitzrayim and not to be affected. His tzitzis was so overwhelming, really beyond our understanding. The Zohar and the other Mefarshei HaTorah say that Klal Yisrael's existence in Mitzrayim was because of Yosef, and his tzitzis was so great that it enabled Klal Yisrael to be nigal from Mitzrayim. And they point out the pasuk Hayom Rov Yonos, that's the significance and importance, where Yosef HaTzadik specifically said, my bones, my keva, my body should be removed from Mitzrayim and taken with Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just the fact that he wanted to leave Mitzrayim when Klal Yisrael left. It was they couldn't get out without him. And that's why the pasuk says Hayom Rov Yonos, the sea saw the Oren of Yosef, and it caused the sea to split, specifically the Schus of Yosef HaTzadik, which Moshe Rabbeinu himself carried. And this Koyach of his Chachus, which Yosef personified with his Shmira of the Mitzvah of Mila, the fact that Klal Yisrael abrogated and abandoned Mila, put them in existential danger, and nearly caused us to disappear. And this is really the secret of our existence in Golus now, to maintain our identity and our chiyus. It has to do with the mitzvah of Mila. And that's part of the reason that the B'nai Yisosra points out that the only two mitzvahs asay that carry a punishment of chorus if they're not observed are the mitzvah of Mila and the mitzvah of Pesach, because those two mitzvahs were the power that Klal Yisrael had to get out of Mitzrayim, and that's why what we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, we were erem ve'elya, we were naked, bereft of mitzvahs, v'oy meloch b'damaya chayi, the dam of mitzvah of Mila and the dam of the mitzvah of Pesach helped us get out. And that's why the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael was given in the Torah was HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chodashim. The Koyach of Hischachus that was taken away from us, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it back to us. And when we nearly lost it because we were not following the mitzvah of Mila, that's V'yokam Melech Chodesh, the power that Klal Yisrael would have had from Hischachus, it went over to Paroi, and that's why he's called Melech Chodesh. This is the Mahalach of the Shem Yishmuel, the Chiddush Yarim, the Sfas Emes, and other great rabbis in Pshischa. But dear friends, before I finish this year, I think it's important to make a personal observation that when we are in Golis and we're battling to maintain our existence, that there's two different perils in our interactions with non-Jews that surround us. That when Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Malach of Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, and the Pasuk says, Vayivosa Yaakov Levade Ve'yeovik Ish Imoy, referring to his wrestling with the Malach, and Rashi has an interesting comment. First he says, Vayovik Menachem Pirish Meloshen Ovak, that this word Vayeovik Ish Imoy, that when you fight, you kick up dust. But then he brings down a different pshat in Vayovik, that it's Vayiskashel, that he was grappling with it. He was wrestling with it. And the Chassam Sofer says that these are two different interactions that we have with non-Jews when we struggle to maintain our existence, that are alluded to the pasuk at the beginning of Vayishlach. Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Yaakov Avinu said, save me from my brother, from Esav. But it says two different types of interaction. Miyad ochi, that's alluded to this pshat in Ve'ovik. There could be a fight where you're kicking up dust, you're throwing somebody down on the ground. It's a battle, a physical battle, a negative physical battle. But there's a different type of an existential threat when you interact with the forces of Esav. That's Vayis Abek, Vayis Kasha, that you're tying yourself to him. You're being Mishaba to him. So when we interact with non-Jews, we must remember that the biggest Avera that a Yid can do is Achil Hashem, and we must interface with the non-Jews around us. You have to be Mechabed them, and we have to speak appropriately pleasant to them, and they have to say how nice Jews are. It's very important when we interact with them. Mekach and Memka, we have to be exceedingly scrupulous In some places it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch. You have to be more scrupulous financially when you interact with Memka. You have to be exceedingly scrupulous. In some places it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch. You have to be more scrupulous financially when you interact with a non-Jew to avoid Echil Hashem, so that the Goyim speak highly of how Jews handle. That's what we're supposed to do. But there are perils from positive interactions, because inappropriate positive interactions could lead toward his chabrus, that we could cholila want to marry with them. We want to be makasher to them. And there's the opposite battle which we have when we interface with non-Jews. The battle of animosity, that they want to kill us. So this ahava and sinna are both negea us in the golus as well. And we have to be very careful to do as our Chazal have instructed us in Shulchan Aruch and in the Sifrei Musa, and Eibishter will help in the Schus. As we always say, Abol Latar, if we want to do the right thing, the Eibishter will grant us wisdom and we'll be able to follow the Derech HaTorah and we'll be Zoichet very quickly Be'ezras Hashem to see Refuas and Yeshuas for us, for Klal Yisrael and for Eretz Yisrael, the Chabbos.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.